We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit.
He just sits there and looks pretty.
This is the O-Line Committee.
Dumb football questions. We got a few coming in here from the YouTube section. We've got some people. I think we're going to include whenever you guys leave a comment on the Apple Podcast page with your favorite random offensive lineman, we will include those in dumb football questions.
Yes.
Immortal Eagle says, my favorite random offensive lineman is John Wojciechowski. He was first team All Big Ten his senior year at Michigan State. So he was an offensive lineman back in like the... So he's currently 60 years old, went to Michigan State back in the early to mid 1980s. John Wojciechowski.
That a boy. What a name too, right? That's all lineman name.
He's in the Packers front office. Is this the same guy? He's the director of player personnel for the Packers.
I was going to say the name sounds very familiar, dude.
Okay.
I think we've, talked to him. Yeah,
I've 100% talked to him.
I'm like, dude, I know this guy. Yes,
that's awesome.
Wait, there's also a jazz musician named John Wojciechowski too. So I don't know. Maybe this dude specializes in the jazz flute when he's not evaluating offensive linemen.
The Yaz flute.
Yeah, I think this is the guy. He's from Detroit, Michigan. Played at Michigan State, undrafted 1986. He's a Buffalo Bill. Jeremiah, hey. You guys.
Yep,
drafted the year before I was born.
The boys in blue.
And then Chicago Bears, 1987 to 1993. He played with Jim Harbaugh.
Grinded it out, baby.
That a boy.
That's a great name. Great offensive line name.
John Wojciechowski. And then Eloso 3135 says his favorite random offensive lineman is Mark Stepnoski, the 90s Cowboys starting center.
Yeah, I remember
Mark
him.
Mark Stepnoski.
I remember Mark as well.
God,
What's another great offensive
dirty
lineman?
Dirty grinder.
Oh, yeah.
Was he the one that, like, taped his whole forearm?
Yes. Who was that? I'm pretty sure.
I can't remember, there was an old Dallas center that, like, the wrist tape went, like, halfway up to the elbow.
He definitely had huge chunks of tape on his wrist.
Yes.
And he had the flowing hair as well.
Yes, that was him. That was him that just had the massive forearm tape.
Mark Stepnaski. Let's go. Okay, from Aaron on the YouTube comments. How tired do players get toward the end of games? How does fatigue factor in toward the end of football games?
Tired, I mean, fatigue definitely is a factor. Like, I think any player would lie to you and say fatigue doesn't play a factor. But the difference is, can you push through the fatigue better than the other person? Right? Everyone's tired. It's a physical game, right? It's a physical game. And if you're running like a 2-minute situation as an offensive lineman, you're gassed, right? Like, it's you're toast, and it's game on the line. Can you gut it out? But so much of that comes back to, like, how well have you prepared? How well are you ready for that moment? And how clearly can you mentally think? Because the body, you can will the body to do anything, right? Like, and I say that tongue in cheek a little bit, but, like, if you're an elite athlete and you're in the high pressure situation, you can will your body to do crazy things. Crazy things when you think you can't do it anymore and I can't pass that one more time, my legs are going to give out. Mentally, you can say, like, you can shove that inner bitch down and be like, nope, not happening. But we're guys.
This is me on, like, the 30-minute Peloton rides, minute 27. Come on, Phil. You got this,
right?
Dennis, like, Morton's got you. He's got you.
Yeah, 100%.
He's a Dennis Morton rider.
I think the fatigue makes a coward of us all mentally. Is the coach, I can't remember what coach said that, but, like, that was a thing, because it's not as much, you can will the body, but as soon as you let the mind go, you're toast. As soon as you let the fatigue hit your brain and you're worried about how tired you are and how poor me, and you forget the blitz pickup or you forget the cadence or you jump off sides, that's the bigger factor in the fatigue side of the game than the actual physical tiredness, in my opinion.
Dude, the only time you're going to feel tired is, like, the minute you sit down after the game. Because when you're in that game, your heart is racing. Like, yeah, sure, there are times where you're in 2-minute, where you'll get to the line and you'll take a quick second and you'll be like, damn, I'm breathing really hard. But then all of a sudden you hear Ricky, Ricky, and you're like, okay, I'm in it. I'm back in it. Like, yep.
Yeah.
And you're gone. Like, you don't – when you're on the field, there's so much going on and there's so many checks in your brain that the last thing you're thinking is, am I tired? Do I have this? Like, nobody is ever in the huddle like, I'm gassed, dude. Like, it's normally like, hey, where are we screwing up? Now, the weird thing is, you're on the field and you're fine. The minute you come off the sideline, yeah, you're breathing. You're, all right, hold on, coach. Like, you just don't think about it when you're out there because you're so in, like, a panic mode, but an excitable mode and, like, a thinking mode that you're like, nothing else matters in the world right now. For the next 3 hours, 4 hours, however long this is, nothing's going to matter. Now, when you sit down after that game, I can't express to you the level of, like, holy shit factor that your body is like, wow, I am tired now. And then you're like, I'm going to need like 10 minutes to just sit here. Somebody give me a Gatorade before I pass out. Like, it's insane. But
and
in the moment,
and then the media comes in with
the
microphones
worst.
And cameras.
That's why you see guys so mad sometimes, because you're like, dude, we just did 2-minute and you're asking me about it. And I can't even remember what we did because I am just so gassed right now. And they're like, so on that 2-minute with third down, they saw that blitz. Why didn't you guys pick it up? And you're like, I don't even know. I don't know. I haven't watched the game. I don't know. I'm tired. Leave me alone. Like, worst time to interview me. Wait till tomorrow. But it
How
is.
How would you assess your chances in the NFC North after that loss? Yeah.
3 minutes left in the third quarter. I noticed that you guys ran a play action. Do you remember why? You'd be like, what? I don't even know who I am right now. Guys. What are you talking about? We played a game? I'm so unconscious right now. What? We ran power 35 times today, lady. Leave me alone.
It is wild that you guys, you're just like, you're being asked to be gladiators for 3 hours and then immediately reintegrate into society in the locker room and back home with your families.
Then you
add all these, like, probing media members, like idiots like me wanting to know, you know, hey, do you feel like your season's over because you just lost an overtime game?
Right. Yeah. What does this mean for your chances now that you've lost?
Slowly simmering. Yeah. It's been boiling for 4 hours and it's still just on a slow simmer. And
I will say this. After a game, win or loss, seeing the kids, like all the kids of the family, nothing more excitable, right? Like you're super excited. The minute you see the media, you're like, God damn it, go away from me. Like just, it could be some kid coming up to you hanging on your arm forever. And you're just like, whatever, dude, it's super fun. The minute somebody comes up like, so how'd you think that game went? You're instantly like, really? Really?
I think, especially with football players, I think it's easy to, because you don't get as much access to football players. There's 53 of you on a roster. The media time is limited during the week and stuff. So it's like, sometimes it's easy to forget for fans and for media. These are human beings that have lives. Oh, dude, I'll never forget. I used to cover baseball before, probably between my stints covering football. But I was a beat writer covering the Minnesota Twins, and I'd be in the clubhouse for 2 hours before the game, and you had all this access. And there's 162 games, and so you're just in there all the time. And I'll never forget, there was a catcher named Ryan Domit. Used to play for the Pirates for a few years, kind of a power-hitting catcher, and the Twins had him for a couple years. And he was a bad defensive catcher, and he dropped – there was a pop-up in one of these innings just straight up the phone booth, you know, and Ryan bats his glove, and he sits underneath it, and he drops this pop-up, and it leads to like a 7-run inning for the opposing team, and the Twins lose the game. And of course, all of us media, you go down there and find out kind of what happened and how the loss happened, and you're writing stories and all this stuff. And so we all gather around this poor dude sitting at his locker, right? And he dropped a freaking pop-up to lose this game. And the other reporters are kind of looking at me because I would usually ask the first question. I'm like, you guys, like, seriously? And they're like, go, ask it.
Do it.
And so he kind of like half turns around. He's like, what do you guys want? And I'm like, oh, shit. And I said, Ryan, hey, man, just on that pop-up there in the seventh inning, you know, what kind of happened from your standpoint? He goes, what the fuck do you think happened? And I was like, what do you, I mean, there's a human, like, you're a human being asking another human being, you just screwed up at your job and cost your team a game. What happened there? And he's like, and he said the right thing, which is, go bleep yourself.
I love
he
it.
He came up the next day and he apologized. He's like, right. Dude, I'm sorry.
But that's
I was
thing.
Mad.
Like, that's the thing. Like, all of us at one point in time, the blood cools down and you get out of this fight or flight mode and you can actually think and understand. Like, I get that the media has a job and I totally respect what you guys do. Like, it's important. It's, you guys are a lot of the times kind of like the peer into the team and the fans want to know,
tell us
like,
more about how
what's going on. But I do think there's a time and a place to understand, and the good journalists get it. The good reporters understand when you can press and when to push in and when to chase something and when to understand, like, hey, let's let this dude cool down for a hot second and revisit this on Monday.
Yes.
Like, even the best of the best, Mahomes. Right? Mahomes has that huge blow-up about the penalties and
offsides,
how it's costing games. And then, like, because, again, the blood is hot, right? You just came off the most intense. And then the next day he's able to be like, I was wrong. I regrouped. Like, that's human nature. But just in a world of a 24-hour news cycle and the things that we do, like, it's just hard for it's hard to put that away as quickly as some guys think you can after a game like that.
Mackie, going into that, obviously you knew what the answer was going to be.
100%. Oh yeah.
Do you ask the question, if you could do it again, would you ask the same question?
Yeah. No.
But that's kind of you poking, right?
It
like,
is. No.
When you guys come up to us and ask us stupid questions, like right after the game, I find that unfair. And I feel like people.
That was my last year as a beat writer, and it was kind of second half of the season. They were going to lose like 95 games, and I literally decided in that moment, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be the one that is asking that question. And even like on the elevator ride back up to the press box with some of the other writers, I was ranting to them like, why does that question even need to be asked? Well, we need the quotes for the story. It's like, I said, you know, in my mind, I made the decision, I'm going to make a living in this industry not needing to ask that question to that poor guy in a 96 loss season that has a family, you know,
which is fair.
He made a huge mistake and he dropped a pop up. Like, does he need to answer for it in the locker room after? Like, in some situations, I think it's important for players to answer for a screw up or a failure.
For
sure. Their teammates aren't taken. But there's context involved.
Right. Yeah. Like, you can't ask a guy a simple question like, hey, routine fly ball, dropped it. What happened, bud? Like, the answer is always going to be the same.
Well, I mean, you know what that answer is. It's a rhetorical question. Hey,
right.
why did you know you jumped off sides when it was important to not jump off sides? It's like, no, I had no idea. I had no clue I was not supposed to do that.
What
like,
happened
come
on that ball start?
What happened
I thought
on that
it was
ball
on one
start?
Stupid.
Well, that's like my favorite press conference is Baylor and BYU a couple years ago in the tournament when they're like,
the
how does BYU out rebound Baylor?
Oh, that one was like,
Torian Prince.
Well, yeah,
Prince.
And he's like, what you do is you go up, and when the ball misses the rim, you grab it and you bring it back down. And they had more of those than us. Yeah. Like, it's just like, you know the answer.
That's being a smartass. I like that. I like that.
Like, yeah.
Dude, he's,
like,
he's still
that's
in the lead,
man. Someone be like, if someone's like, hey, how did you jump off sides there? Be like, well, when someone moves before the ball is snapped, the ref will throw this little yellow piece of laundry onto the field and blow his stupid little whistle.
Yeah.
And he's going to make these hand motions and announce that off sides 71. Which
sometimes it's illegal procedure. Sometimes
I left before the snap was gone, and that's how I jumped off sides.
That's how you respond.
That's how every athlete should start responding to those. Like
very sarcastically,
just very like matter of the fact. Like you want to be matter of the fact and ask what happened. Here's what happened. Here's a play by play of how this went down.
Now,
letter of the law.
Now, if it's a quarterback throwing an interception, I think there's a now he might be pissed and might not want to answer, but I kind of want to know, as a fan, as media, was it a missed route? Was it a bad route? Was it like?
But they're never going to tell you.
We don't know. We don't know. You won't know.
And they're not
going to
tell you. Right. And even if they did, they're not going to tell you that the receiver ran the wrong route. That's bad. That's bad for business.
If he's worth the shit. Yeah. If he's worth the shit, he's not going to be a bus thrower in the moment.
No.
Andrew Luck was my favorite because Andrew Luck was the opposite. You could see like, he had like ribs sticking out of his jersey, bleeding in his offensive line. He's like, I got to be better.
I should. He's literally coughing up blood. He's like, I should have thrown it away. Hold on. Give me an IV quick.
He's got a walking boot and a crutch out. And he's like, I mean, if I should have just got rid of the ball in 0.4 seconds instead of one, that free runner should have never got there.
Oh, man.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
I got one more dumb football question from the Bacchinator. The Bacchinator on YouTube.
We got some good names today.
It's great, yeah. So he says, we got Immortal Eagle and we have the Bacchinator today. It's great. How much money would you guys have given up or given back to win a Super Bowl in your careers?
I didn't make a whole lot, so probably none.
Probably none.
Being honest. I'm being honest. I mean, I made good money. Don't get me wrong. I made good money, but I never signed a huge deal or had guaranteed money. And like that money that I made in the league is what I'm living off of right now, and it's what's allowing me to build my business. And so like looking back on it, I don't think I would have given up anything because that was my livelihood and I only played 6 years. And so truthfully, like as great as it would have been to win a Super Bowl, it would have put me in if I would have to give money back, it would have put me in a much tougher spot to raise my family and do what I want to do right now, like objectively. So yeah, call me selfish, whatever, but I would
Vikings, Bills, Chargers, Panthers fans, but Jay he wouldn't have done it. Your city to win
he wouldn't
Super
have
Bowl.
Done it.
Sorry. Doesn't give a crap about the fans, but that's fine.
If I would have made $26 million, sure. We're having a different conversation, but I did not. Alex?
Would you give any money back, buddy?
Millions. I would. Yeah,
really?
For sure. Yeah. You have no idea
that
how makes, much I
that
chased
checks
that.
Out. That checks I, out, though, because you dude, made millions. That
I would
checks
have,
out. Yeah, that checks out.
I gave a lot to for that Super Bowl. Like, just one ring. And I always heard Tom Rathman talking about his rings, and I always just wanted one. And he'd be like, I keep them over here, and I keep them over here. And I was like, Jesus Christ, how many you got, dude? Like, can I have one? He'd be like, I got one over here. Okay, got it.
All right, like, Tom, we get a guy. Yeah.
The year that we lost that Super Bowl, I was training that summer, and Kelechi Osemele came into our gym, and he had on his ring, and I would have given a lot for that ring. That thing was the most massive ring I've ever seen in my life, and it had 140 diamonds in it. I would have given a lot for that ring. I'm sorry. Like, at the end of the day, all of this is great, and it's super fun, and the journey was fun, but to be, call yourself a champion, I think that is the ultimate level of fuck you. No matter what anyone says to you in your life, you could throw that ring up and be like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? I don't know. I don't know about sacrifice or discipline or what it takes to lead or be on a team or do all that. Because no matter what you do, people are like, did you win a Super Bowl? No. Like, oh. Thanks.
Boonies at Kowalski's, the grocery store.
Yeah.
Did you win a Super Bowl there?
But, yeah, that checks out, though. That checks out. No. You made millions, you'd give millions. Checks out. I made hundreds of thousands, would not give millions.
But we all gave a lot. We gave literally bone and blood. Like, we gave as much as we could and gave it up for the cause. And at the end of the day, when you fall short, it sucks. It really, really sucks. Like, I know people say that a lot. You're like, oh, okay, whatever. But, like, you stop after that clock hits 000 and you turn around and you're like, all the work was for nothing. You're like, that's what it equates to. Because the coaches tell you right away, hey, shitty year, go home. You're like, okay.
See all that pain, all that nothing.
Yeah. All that film, all those notes, all that waking up at 4:30 every day to, you're like, that's it? Go home. You make me sick.
Loser.
Thanks. No, really, they walk you out like, you're a loser, we're losers, we need to be better, we suck. Yeah.
Find your replacement.
They don't sugarcoat shit in the NFL. That's why
there's only one happy team at the end of the year. That's it. There's only one. And then you walk back in the next year and they've got the poster of the Lombardi in the corner of the room again. You're like, all right.
Dude, I gotta be honest.
Here we go.
I would almost rather lose week 18 and call it a year than go to the Super Bowl and lose again. Because there is no level of pissed offness. Because in that moment, everyone's like, you control your own destiny. And we were like, we got it. And then you lose it, and you're like, wow, I'm a shitty football player. Like, you're like, so, I made it all the way to the
quarter. You guys had the lead in the fourth quarter there. Did you guys kind of think you were going to hang
on
there?
I can tell you right now, that media had never seen a more pissed off team. Because I remember when I came in the locker room, there was shit thrown everywhere. And I mean everywhere. Like, that's why it is so heartbreaking to go all the way down to the wire and be like, yeah, you're just not good enough. Sorry, you suck.
So, you guys, when the lights went out there and you had the delay, how much did that affect you guys' ability to plug it back?
Crazy thing was, the lights helped us. Like, everyone thought we did that because we were down, and that's when we started to come back, and that's when everybody was like, did you guys have something to do with the lights? And I was at that point that I lost my helmet for the year. Like, it went through a wall. The lockers were getting ripped out. Like, it's rough, man. It's rough when people tell you suck in the heat of the moment at the biggest moment of your life, and they're like, you just suck. What do you want us to say? Thanks, guys.
You blew it.
Oh, it was
rough. You blew
it. That was rough.
Is your dumb football questions. Click that like button and the subscribe button on the O-Line Committee YouTube channel. 5-star rating, positive review to help us grow on Apple and Spotify. And be on the lookout for a Saquon Barkley, does he still have it, film review on the YouTube channel as well.
Silly question.
See you guys.
Got the juice.